It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Fired out in front. Rass pushed off and made the stop.
Shaws and Star Market Hockey Seven Show. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Hour number two here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. As we take you until 11 o'clock, 617-779-0985 for your phone calls. As we digest the last week of the Bruins and a loss last night to Buffalo following a six-game winning streak. But as I mentioned earlier, guys, the six-game winning streak coming out of the trade deadline and the new additions have all been working out. And, you know, there's lots of W's and the 5-on-5 game looks great. What has happened to the power play all of a sudden? one of 19, I think it is, over the course of the last, you know, six games or something in that ballpark. Where have they gone? What's happened?
I've got a couple of theories on that. First, you know, they tried to incorporate Hall and Riley on the power play, on the top unit, and It was not a fit. They've had no time to practice it whatsoever. Mm. So they went back to their natural unit, right, with Grizzlick back in the lineup. Yeah, Grizzlick back at the point, Richie down in front. You know, Bergeron was not in the lineup yesterday. They only had one power play, I think, yesterday.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, right. So it's been ugly. It really has. I mean, it's, you know, as good as that power play has been, right, we were complaining earlier in the year that the power play was good, but we had no 5-on-5 scoring. Well, they won six in a row. The 5-on-5 scoring was there, and they had no power play scoring. So, you know, if you could ever put everything together, it'd be great. It just
now we're back to the ifs.
That's your season. Like, that's the way hockey is. That's the way a long season is. You always want to have everything going, you know, at its best, but very rarely do you have it all going, you know, the way that you want to. And right now they are really struggling in that department, and they're trying to figure it out. They put, you know, Hall on the Krejci unit. You know, I think moving forward against Pittsburgh, you're gonna have some chances against Pittsburgh. There's been some penalties there with those two teams. I think you'll have a more engaged team against the Penguins. We talked about the games against the Sabres. There's not a lot of bad blood there. And I think the Bruins are so much better when there's bad blood. And, you know, you get fired up for playing against a team. It didn't seem like that against the Sabres, but you'll have that against the Penguins. I don't have any doubt about that. Pittsburgh causes the Bruins some problems with their speed, but you can also, you know, there's some hatred there between the two teams. When I say hatred, you know, I just mean like animosity between the two teams that kind of gets you going a little bit.
You know, look, obviously you don't want to be operating at 5% on the power play, but I think if you are as good as they've been 5-on-5 lately, it takes the pressure off of needing to score on the power play. You know, you talked about, you know, not being able to score 5-on-5 goals earlier this year, but the power play carried the team. I think if you had to pick between those two options, 5-on-5 is probably where you'd like to go, right?
What's been one of the best things for the Bruins this season? Penalty kill.
Yeah.
They had two goals against them yesterday.
Yeah.
On the power play for the Sabres.
And it's if you look at the numbers, the amount of times that they've been shorthanded and the amount of differential that they've been on the penalty kill versus the power play, I think that that's something down the stretch that, that I think the coaches would like to rectify some of those preventable penalties. But getting back to the power play, add one more layer to it. I think... You know, after the last couple of seasons where the Bruins just ripped apart just about every penalty kill that they faced, I think some teams have made it a lot harder and taken away some of the Bruins' primary options. That's Bergeron in the bumper and Pastrnak on the left elbow. But Patrice Bergeron mentioned this maybe a couple of weeks ago. He said, listen, we have to find the two-on-one. There's a two-on-one there. We have to find it and execute. And the Bruins have had a hard time doing that when some of those normal number options A and B have been taken away.
That's what a power play is all about, though, right? You identify. So, look, Washington, who's the most potent guy on the Washington Capitals?
Ovechkin.
Okay, take him away. Isn't somebody else going to be open?
Oh,
yes.
Geez.
So you have to identify that and be able to exploit that. So if the open guy is going to be Nick Ritchie around the front of the net, you know, Ritchie has to be good there. And he was at the beginning of the year. He's had a little bit of a drop off here recently. Do you have a threat of a shot from the top? And right now, you know, not as much as I would like, right? You got to have that threat of the shot from the top or the fake shot. You know, shot pass type of thing into Bergeron in the bumper, you know, for that redirect. You know, these are areas I think Marchand's been a little reluctant to let the shot go from the right side. I think they've gotten a little stagnant. They've had trouble getting into the zone. There's a number of things that are wrong right now with the power play that they have to try to rectify here moving forward. And I think they will. And, hey, let's face it. Pastrnak's been putting up points, but
hasn't looked,
you know,
right.
What kind of threat has he been recently on the power play? We need a little bit more there.
He's got 6 goals on the power play, so this would be far below what his pace was last year. But think about what Beersey mentioned, that the Bruins really haven't had a lot of time to practice. And I think compound that with
That's every team, right? I mean,
correct. But Matt Grizzlick has also been injured. He is just now making his way back into the lineup. And one of the things that the coaches have urged from him as the season has progressed on the man advantage is to maybe roll down to the half wall like we would see Torrey Krug do. And we started to see a little bit of that. Now, the Bruins haven't had a lot of chances on the man advantage. But if they can get a little bit more comfortable with that, that will change some of the options and the looks.
And entries have to be better as well. In order to get teams kind of broken down on the defensive side of it, you've got to get into the zone cleanly or semi-cleanly at least and get set up in that offensive end. And now you get a team that's chasing. You know, if you can't get in the zone, they get fresh bodies out there all the time.
Yeah, what have you thought, just kind of even taking him off the power play or not taking him off the power play, but removing that part from the discussion, what have you thought of Pastrnak's play of late overall? Because, as you mentioned, he's been putting up some points, but
he's fighting it.
Uncharacteristic, you know, he's fanning on one-timers and things like that that normally are just kind of his bread and butter. It's just, you know, it hasn't clicked for him lately. It doesn't feel like.
He's fought it. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if there's an injury related to it. I, you know, that's, again, you know, we're not that we would know anyhow, but not sure right now because he is fighting it. There's no question about it. It has not gone well for him over the last, I don't know how many games you want to say, Judd, what, 15? Even though he's putting up some points, it's not the David Pastrnak that we've been accustomed to seeing here over the last couple of seasons.
617-779-0985. Mark, you're up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I got a couple of things. First on Pastrnak, if it's physical, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and I understand. But if this is a mental thing with him, would it be wise for Cassidy and the Bruins to maybe sit him out a game on the ninth floor, have him readjust his brain? Because right now he's playing like his head is up his butt, okay? And the second thing I want to talk about is I keep hearing this, all this bogus MVP candidate talk, okay? Now, to have a guy like Mika Zibanejad on the board for MVP among with other players, okay, and not have a Brad Marchand on the board as an MVP candidate is absolute travesty.
Whose board is he on?
I mean, Mika Zibanejad, up until a month and a half ago, before that, he did absolutely nothing, guys. And you know that.
Agreed.
I would agree with you.
Agreed.
Terrible season.
Totally agreed. I haven't seen him on. I mean, I'm not sure what board you're looking at. I haven't seen. I mean, I wouldn't put Zibanejad up there. He's been great lately, no question, but he was terrible at the beginning of the year. Marchand's had a fantastic year. I mean, I know that his name's been mentioned with a couple guys. Look, you've got McDavid. Some people have mentioned Hedman. Nathan McKinnon, I think this guy's – would you rather have McDavid or McKinnon in the playoffs?
It's such a hard call.
I'm asking you, Judd, and Ryan, because McKinnon to me
– I like McKinnon.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, McDavid's awesome. I mean, so is Dreisaitl, you know. But you get Nathan McKinnon and what he's capable of doing right now and the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, so MVP, most valuable player to your team. You know, McKinnon's got to be right there. And so does Marchand. He's had a great year.
No, I mean, you have to put Marchand into that conversation.
Absolutely.
There's no question. He should get some consideration. I think, you know, look, the fact that he plays alongside Bergeron and Pasternak, I think a lot of people will not vote for him just based on that, right? It's like, well, I mean, how valuable do you have to be if you're playing on one of the best all-around lines in hockey? And I think that, you know, maybe hurts his case a little bit. When you're talking about awards, but if you watch this team on a regular basis, you understand all the things that he does from the power play to even strength to the penalty kill, and one of the great shorthanded goal scorers of this generation, if not all time.
You can add Bergeron into that as well. You put those two guys together with anybody, and they're going to do the job, and they've proven that, right? When they moved Pasternak down to the Krejci line, or when I say down, or moved him to the Krejci line, you know, and put Craig Smith up there, Craig Smith got hot. he works hard, and he's a good player, and he puts up points, but, you know, it's no coincidence. You're playing with two of the best line in the world a couple years ago in the World Cup was Bergeron, Marchand, and Sidney Crosby. And I wanted to ask Phil Bork about that, by the way. I actually forgot about it. Next time we have him on, I'll ask him about it. That line was the best line in the world when they played in the World Cup. And they might be a line here in the Olympics if it's...
If there are some Olympics.
Well, if there are Olympics, exactly. I mean, phenomenal together. And it just... whether it's Bergeron or Marchand, they're both, I mean, power play... shorthanded, 5-on-5. I mean, they're scary together.
617-779-0985. We can take more of your calls coming up. Also want to talk a little bit about the goaltending tandem turn trio now that the Bruins are employing. We'll get to that coming up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
To the dot, right circle, now to the slot, fires, he scores!
All things Bruins and the NHL. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm. Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, 617-779-0985, the place for your calls. Let's grab a call from Mike up next. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
My call today basically is not so much about this year's team, but the future looking down the road. Up until a week and a half ago, I would say there would be like no way they'd ever bring back David Krejci, especially at a $7 million price tag. But now with the shot in the arm at the trading deadline and Taylor Hall and him playing well, they get some depth on the second line. I got to believe maybe that's changing in the Bruins' thoughts. Also on another level, almost the same thing with Tuukka. In the circle of hockey friends that I have, Tuukka frustrates a lot of people. They don't think his heart is in it. I personally think he's an elite goalie when he's on his game. And my answer to that was always, well, what are you going to do if you don't bring him back? Who are you going to bring in? And now that I've seen Swayman and even Vlada, maybe they have an option there. So I think the Bruins have a lot of questions to answer, a lot of decisions to make after the season is over.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not throwing in the towel this year, but I really don't think they're going to get out of the division. The Jake DeBrusk and Charlie Coyles, the Sean Corrales, Nick Ritchies, I don't think they're getting it done. I mean, Bearsy, last night when you were doing that game, you saw Richie come down the left side. He had a nice scoring opportunity on that Buffalo goalie, and he never got a shot off. And to me, those guys are the ones that really need to pick it up. Again, Jake DeBrusk plays so soft. He hasn't done anything. I know COVID interrupted some of his season. But basically my question is, what do you do with this team down the road as far as, like I said, Krejci, Hall?
I think that, okay, thanks, Mike. I think, you know, we're going to get to the goaltending here in just a second, but I think look, Krejci has always, you know, been a big part of this team for, you know, for more than a decade now, and he has performed really well throughout the course of that time. But when he's got, you know, guys that are on his level, and thus far Taylor Hall has been on that level, he can elevate that game. We see him elevate that game in the playoffs. And I think it becomes a rather interesting question about, you know, what do you do this offseason about Krejci? And some of that's going to be based on what he thinks his value is and whether he wants to play somewhere else potentially if somebody else were going to make him a big offer. But the tandem of he and Hall has done wonders for David Krejci's game here over the past couple of weeks.
I think it's elevated him. I think it's energized him. I think probably a better word, right? No, Krejci's been good. He's been energized. He's been engaged. There's certain areas of his game. I mean, he's always good at setting people up, and you know, you come with pace and then you slow the game down. You let people kind of go by you. You find the late guy, and he's been able to do that. Hall is, I think for Taylor Hall, kind of just watching him now, we get a good look at him now every day. Judd, he's been good in some areas. I think that, you know, the people that say, well, he's a power forward, I don't see that. I think he's a powerful skater. I think he gets knocked down a lot, you know, in corners and battles and things like that. So, you know, looking for him to kind of, but hey, he's put up a point a game since being with the Bruins, right? Or right there anyhow. So we'll take that. When I look at other guys on some of the other lines, you know what I think of Charlie Coyle, Judd, and I really like his game. I have not noticed him at all. And it just, you know, the couple of the helpers are there. He gets to the front of the net. Some of that stuff is good. I need more. I like Coyle a lot, and I need him to be better than he is right now. And Richie, did you expect 12 goals from Richie this year?
No. No, he's two away from his career high across the full season.
You got 10 games left. Did you expect 12 goals from Richie this year? So a lot of them were at the beginning, and you know, he dried up a little bit here recently, and I remember the play that the caller there talked about coming in the left wing side. I thought he got his stick kind of compromised there as he was trying to come to the front, but yes, that play was there to be made, and then he scored later in the third period. So I need him to be a little bit better on the power play, but did I expect 12 goals from Nick Ritchie? No, I didn't. So I'll take it, and then if he can continue to be better. And the other thing is, if, you know, I'm assuming they make the playoffs, right? Let's just say they play against the Washington Capitals. That's right up his alley. Because that is a game, or that's a team that he can really get engaged with. Buffalo, there's no hitting. It's just, you know, you're not going to see him as much. But he can get to the front of the net on anybody. And I include Washington on that because you can get inside on Capitals. And whether Chara's playing or Dylan's playing or whoever it is, you can get inside on them and be in the front of the net and make a difference in that area. And the Bruins have done a good job of that so far this year.
Couple of minutes on the goaltending situation, guys. Jeremy Swayman sounds like he is going to get the start tomorrow. Tuukka will come back on Tuesday. Halak is back. We saw him last night in relief in the third period. And now you've got three guys. Halak, am I reading it wrong? Seems to be like maybe his job as the number two is no longer secure, and that it's potentially Rask and Swayman who get the rest of the starts?
It's one of the questions that the coaching staff is going to have to answer, because I think Cassidy had mentioned maybe a week or so ago, as Yaroslav Halak was working his way off the COVID list at the time, that he mentioned it's going to be very hard to keep three goaltenders sharp. The one thing I will say in Yaroslav Halak's favor is the experience that he has. Granted, last night is not a great example of coming in cold when you need him to be able to come in and win games. That's going to be accentuated in the playoffs, and there's going to be greater focus, and it's something that Jeremy Swayman has never experienced before, certainly in college when he played all the time, and this year when he played in the American Hockey League.
I mean, Swayman's just, he's putting up ridiculous numbers right now. I mean, 1.65 goals against, .943 save percentage.
Wow.
He's a Maine guy. I mean, clearly he's, you know, all Maine guys are, you know, there's a funnel right to the NHL. So, no, I mean, look, I don't know how, you know, if you're the coaching staff, you've got to ride him because he's hot, right? I mean, if the season ended today and you were going into the postseason, who would you feel better about as your number two?
Well, that's a really interesting question. That's a fascinating question. I mean, based on the way he's played, you would have to say Swayman.
Right? I mean, and Halak, you know, you mentioned he got some action last night, but he hadn't played in a couple of weeks. And when he was playing before that, he, you know, wasn't at the top of his game necessarily either. So, you know, I have to imagine, as much as they like Swayman, I don't think they were necessarily expecting that he would be pushing his way into the door this fast.
Maybe. You know, the other thing that coaches always like to say is that they welcome hard decisions. Well, they've got one here with this backup goaltending position. And a lot of ways, also, players will dictate where they wind up based on their play. And because Jeremy Swayman, the way he is playing, you have to give some serious consideration to him being the number two when you head into the playoffs.
All right, we'll talk more about what's going on around the NHL as Billy Jaffe will join us from Nesson coming up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Krejci with a Shots.
Shaw's at Star Market Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 the Sports Hub and the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, and it is time now for Who's Heating Up on the Ice, brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, with over 90 years in business, 100% customer service satisfaction guarantee. Rodenheiser will get the job done right. Go to rodenheiser.com to learn more. Nominations, guys?
Well,
not easy after last night's game, I know, but
what, oh no, you bigger, got to take last
bigger
night out of it.
Bigger picture.
It's bad game last night. Marchand's been awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, really has. I mean, Swayman's been really good when
David
he's been
Krejci.
In there. Krejci's been really
Points
good.
6 of 7.
Hall's got a point a game. You know, but Marchand's been he's been putting it up here recently.
If you look at the numbers, Ryan, so he's got 25 goals. He would have a chance to have his first 40-goal season. His shooting percentage is way up. And he would also have an opportunity to surpass 100 points.
Judd, that's like the worst stat, the shooting percentage. No, in my mind. I hate that stat. You know how much I love analytics.
What's his Corsi?
But I use it only in the sense that when he's firing pucks, they're going
Marshy's been, I mean, he's had a great year. Exactly.
All right, let's bring in Billy Jaffe on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy, of course.
Hold on. Good morning. We got a little feistiness
in
there.
Are you a shooting percentage guy, Billy?
I guess it depends on what we're talking about, shooting percentage. On the ice or off the ice? On the ice, I would say medium. It's situational, Beersy. All kidding aside, I know that Marchand is, 20-something percent this year?
Are you telling me? I don't know.
I don't know. It's 20-something percent. I don't remember what it but it was higher than anybody else in that on the scoring leaderboard. But I don't think it tells the whole story. I don't.
No, just I agree. And just to go back, because I kind of want to go back.
He's not happy.
I am not big into the analytics just yet. But it is striking, though, if you look at the amount of opportunities he's getting and how often they're going into the back of the net. That's, to me, what stands out.
When I look at him, though, like eye test wise, I mean, and you tell me, right? You see him come down the left wing side and let that shot go from the left wing where he's going high glove on the far side. He had one the other day, right, that went off the chest and there was a rebound out there. Have we seen that from him? And we haven't seen a lot of that, so he's been maybe a little bit more selective in some of his shots. When he comes down the left side, he's looking to make that pass across. So. Hey. And it usually works, right? So, the other night he made a pass to Pasternak. It got partially slowed down, and then Pasternak made the pass to Bergeron coming late, right? But he loves to make that pass, whether it's 2-on-1, shorthanded, whether it's 5-on-5. He's deferred, I think, a lot this year, right, where there's been opportunities to let that shot go.
And I think the coaches want to see him shoot more on the man advantage. He has not really fired a ton of pucks on the man advantage.
I'd like to see all of them shoot the puck more on the man advantage. That would be nice and simplify it and, get some scene passes going. Remember a few years ago, I think it was an NBC game, so I was listening to you guys. Remember when he came down the left wing side and sniped one past Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, he smoked one. He did it against Columbus a few times, too. That's the shot that you guys
he did in the playoffs that year. They beat the Penguins. Phil Burke was talking about it earlier when they swept the Penguins.
Yeah, no, you're right. He isn't doing it as much. There's no question. Are they trying rhetorically asking maybe? Is he deferring more to try to get Pasternak going? I know you guys talked about Pasta a little bit. I don't know. It'd be nice to see him going. Hey, I got just a couple of things that I've been listening. You guys were talking about Judd. You asked a question about Buffalo and why no fans. And I know you got a little bit of an answer, select games. I did a little digging, asking as well. Supposedly the Sabres organization had to negotiate with the county because the county up there, they wanted to do more testing and all the protocols that needed to happen. So they negotiated these four games. That might be code for we don't really want fans watching the, in the arena. I don't know. But that's what I was told, that they had to negotiate those four dates to get any fans in there and not to have to have all the cumbersome testing before they come in and proof of testing, et cetera.
No, but they still have to have that testing. You still have to provide a negative COVID test or proof of vaccine in order to get in.
Regardless, it's, I guess over the stretch of it, this was the best they could negotiate to make it the easiest.
Again, so they come in Friday, but they can't come in Thursday.
I guess they negotiated those four games. That's what I was. That's what I was told. And then the other question I had for you guys were just, and I, sorry, RJ, but I just, listen, you guys were talking about Charlie Coyle. And I know this is more around the league, but I just wanted to ask Beersy and Judd about this. I mean, it doesn't look right to me either. Beersy, you think it's more of a physical thing, more of a mental thing? Because, I mean, I looked at the other third lines around the East. You know, it's that old mismatch scenario. I mean, for a while, we were always concerned about secondary scoring. I hope for Bruins fans and for us, you know, with Krejci and his line playing the way they are, I think they have that second line, that really great second line. But now it comes down to, you go from being a good team to a great team when your third line creates those mismatches. So what do they do with the Coyle line, asking rhetorically? But you don't have anybody else to play center there, and yet it just doesn't look the same like it did a year and a half ago, last year, when he would dominate physically and power around guys and control puck play. What do they do right now? Do they just keep playing him until he gets out?
I know rhetorically, but it's just – for me, so – all right, so a month ago – month and a half ago, we were complaining that there's no five-on-five scoring, there's no secondary scoring. Well, now they got, you know, production from the second line. They're getting no power play scoring. They're getting five-on-five scoring. But that third line, and is Jake DeBrusk on the right side the option?
I guess. What else do you do?
It hasn't been. He's been better. He's been better. Yeah. He created some opportunities, and, you know, Richie's trying to, you know, do his thing over on the left side. I think Richie's going to be valuable in a playoff series against a heavier team. Against Buffalo, even though he had a goal yesterday and had another chance, he's not going to be as effective, or, you know, unless he initiates it, you know, really starts running guys through the boards. So, you know, can DeBrusk be a factor on the right side after having a tough year? I think he can. I do think he can. I think he's capable of it. It just hasn't quite been there. And for me, Coyle, he hasn't been Charlie Coyle. Like, you see him play, you know, in the last year or two, and some of the things he's capable of doing, protecting the puck, gaining separation, creating offensive chances, I just haven't seen it as much. And I want to see it because, I think he's a good Bruin. I really do. I think he's like, this is where he belongs, and I really like him. It hasn't been there recently.
No, it hasn't. And he used to put guys off his shoulder and then turn the back and then be able to take them from, you know, he would work the puck off the wall and try to bring it to the front of the net, and he would create time and space for his line mates. And he's the center. He's the center of attention, literally, figuratively, on that line. And I just look at it, and you know how we've always said, you know, the Bruins will go as far as Krejci will go in a year where they have a third line going. Well, now this year, it seems to me, if Krejci and his line continue to shine the way that they have and get their mojo together, the chemistry, I think it comes down now to this third line. And, you know, I am not huge into the analytics game. I'm not against it either. I'm with you guys, but if you look at the analytics of Coyle, just his possession, they're down a couple of percent last year to this year. And I think it is, you know, that's where you say you can tell that he has not had the same results as he had before. The amount of attempts that have gone against him, you can argue, well, his line, but he's had some good line mates. It's just also in general, it has not been the same power drive game out of Charlie. And at 6'3", 200 something, man, he can be a beast out there when he's going.
And maybe he can find it, because clearly the Bruins believe in him. They gave him a 6-year, $31 million deal. So they think that this is a piece that can help them going forward. But I would agree with you.
They might need it if Krejci leaves, right?
Yeah. It is. Absolutely. and he moves up in the lineup. Where that would be certainly to be determined by Bruce Cassidy. But I think it's been very puzzling because he has had some good players to play with at different points, whether it's been DeBrusque or Craig Smith, who's been good on any line, essentially. But I also thought it was interesting that Bruce Cassidy, when we had talked to him the other day, because they recently brought that line in, Coyle, DeBrusque, and Richie. And one of the things that was imparted to them was, you guys need to have a little bit more of a plan. It was more or less that the three were playing as individuals and not as a collective unit. And because of that, they weren't having a whole lot of success as a threesome.
Hopefully they get some success quickly. All right, team needs it.
Billy, let's talk about a few things going on around the league. And I want to start with off-ice stuff because the general managers had a meeting / conference call this week.
Yep.
And we learned a little bit about some of their scheduling issues. Number one, next year they're talking about, you know, an October 12 start,
yep,
full 82-game season. They're talking about the Olympics, which I maybe know a lot of, you know, maybe, but I know that'll make a lot of the players happy that they're at least talking about having the NHL involved in the Olympics. What was the biggest takeaway from that event this week? And as they try and figure out not only next year, but they're still trying to figure out when the playoffs are going to start this year.
Well, that was maybe the biggest takeaway, is that they have more of a definitive answer about next season. Starting October 12th, as you said, camp is penned in for September 22nd than they do for this year because of the unknown, especially with the North Division and the schedule. I can't see how they don't start the playoffs. Let's assume I hope I don't jinx it. Let's assume COVID doesn't crush anybody, any other team schedule the rest of the way, which you don't know. Calgary has a player that just got put on the list last night. But if it doesn't, I can't see how the American divisions don't start 2-3 days before the finish of the North Division, and they can handle that, but they just don't know exactly. So they're really hesitant to say when they think the playoffs are going to begin. This Zoom meeting, whatever it was only 2 hours and 25 minutes compared to the 3-day boondoggle that the GMs usually get playing golf down in Florida. And
shows how much actual work gets done during those things.
Exactly. So they did this quickly. Another few other things, you talk about the schedule. Is it going to be 82 or is it going to be 84 games? That was reported that was thrown out, that perhaps an 84 game season, little bit heavier divisional, yeah, money. Well, absolutely money and fewer preseason games. You know, most teams play 6 or 7 now, and the players really don't like that. They would do no more than 4, but I agree with you. It's about money because I don't think the players would go against this at all because they want to pay less in escrow and that want more, have more hockey related revenue come into their pockets. And when it's all said and done, so wouldn't shock me if an 84 game season, regular season came to fruition. You mentioned the Olympics, and fellas, the Olympics to me are a big question mark, not just from an NHL perspective, but how about countries perhaps boycotting it? There is significant discussion about that not going to Beijing. They might take the decision right out of the NHL's hands if they can't get a deal, or if the deal with the IIHF is even, you know, tenuous at best. What did they say, mid-May? They want to have that deal done if they're going to go or not. I think they can extend that a little. But the other things, the countries like the United States might not go. They may boycott those Olympics due to what they're talking about, you know, human rights violations in China.
Well, what will also be interesting is what is the schedule going to look like in and of itself, whether it's 82 or 84? Are we going to see more divisional games? Are we going to see more of these series to cut down on some of the travel and some of the costs? I guarantee
all for it.
Yeah,
that the league is probably looking at, you know, and let's circle back to money. What is going to help the league generate the most income for its teams and for itself based on the schedule?
We're going to see we'll see the ads on the jerseys.
Yeah,
we got them on the helmets.
European
right
hockey,
now.
Right? Get them on the helmets. You're going to have them on the jerseys.
Yeah, I think that's a couple of seasons away. I could see 2 more years for that. They'll do another if the world can come back to somewhat the hockey world, a little normalcy, then maybe they do the helmets. The helmet stickers are here for good now. We know that. So they'll do that next year. And I could see a Beersy a year after that. jerseys, small things, you know, crest or something, you know, stitched on. I think we're going to see definitely, Judd, definitely more of these two gamers. I do. Because what does that do for expenses?
I've been pushing that for years, Billy. I really have. I started talking about it a few years ago. Why play a couple games in one city? It cuts down on the travel. You know, the plane flight, the expenses. I mean, you got to pay for the hotel. I get that. But
you're paying for the hotel usually regardless. Anyway, and you save on the cost. And the NHL has become big in the green initiative, right? They've got a whole thing about, so that cuts down on the old carbon footprint too. And it's a broadcaster's dream. Are you kidding me?
Well,
I don't need to see Buffalo three times
in a row. Yeah.
twice. Just twice. You only have to prepare though. You know, once.
I don't mind going to Buffalo, but I don't need to see him sitting in the studio three games in a row. But
by the way, Beers, you brought up a point too earlier, and oh my God, did I have a hard time watching some of these games really analyzing it and saying what is going on out there? And I'm like, I need another coffee, you know, to keep myself awake.
I think Judd said it yesterday, right? What? I'm waiting for the coffee to kick in. It was 7 o'clock at night.
Let's go.
Billy, what are you hearing, you know, as we're talking about the GM meetings and trying to set schedules and things like that, what are you hearing about what's going to happen with the North Division playoffs as far as, you know, are they going to potentially bubble in the United States? Because at some point, the Canadian and U.S. teams are going to have to mingle when they get through the postseason, and that's going to be difficult given some of the guidelines that are in place.
I hear the same conjecture I'm sure that you guys have heard. I've just tried to talk to a few people. I don't think anybody really knows, but I think they're considering the most likely scenario, if there's still a question of the border, is they'll take the winner of the Canadian division, the North, and they'll move them down below the board, into the U.S. And they'll just say, okay, Buffalo will probably have games there. And we're going to put a team there. And you know, if one of the things as well is what the issue or question I keep hearing is how, you know, more and more of the U.S.-based teams are getting vaccinated. How much of the Canadian teams by that time will have gotten vaccines? The last two or three days in Canada, fellas, the vaccination process has started to pick up significantly as they've started using some of the AstraZeneca, that maybe they'll get some Johnson & Johnson if they can, you know, the U.S. has some extra. And that could help then limit the amount of times the players, when the team does come across, if a team has to come across, that they would have to quarantine if the players are fully vaccinated. So those are all things to consider, RJ. But I keep hearing that the one option would be get through the Canadian first two rounds and then move that Canadian team down. So then you move them through, whether it's a border city like Buffalo, then you know what? You're there, you quarantine a few days, you start your semifinal. If they win, you move on and you keep playing. If you don't, you send them back across the border.
So there's a couple divisions right now. I think a couple of divisions are already settled, in my mind anyhow. And I think the East is one of them. But when you look at teams, Nashville, Dallas, Chicago, battling for fourth in the Central, and then St. Louis, Arizona, I'll leave it at those two. I mean, San Jose has an outside chance. But
you
want to include
a team that's five games under 500 and only 4 points out of a playoff spot?
Think about that, right? So the Bruins, you know, are in fourth place in their division, and they have 60 points. And here's Calgary with 43 that has a chance at the playoffs. St. Louis with 44 has a chance at the playoffs. And Dallas with 50 who has a chance at the playoffs. Who makes it, who doesn't, in some of those divisions?
Well, you know, I keep thinking that Nashville's going to hold on. And, you know, they've got the four-point gap over Dallas.
But three games in hand for Dallas.
And I was going to say, and Tyler Seguin is expected to come back next week. And does that help or hurt? We don't know. Looking at the schedules, Nashville only has Dallas once, or they only have each other once. And Dallas has, they end their season with two games against Chicago, at Chicago. Chicago, I think, is out of it, you know, now, I think. But they're not a bad team. I don't know, man. I look at the schedules. If Dallas gets goaltending and they keep up the play and Sagan comes back, I kept saying, well, I think Nashville's going to do it, right? And then I saw those three games in. I'm like, I don't know. Dallas, to me, it's going to come down to their goaltending. You know, can Hobby Boulin do what the magic that he did last year? You know, Ben Bishop for years. I'm sorry. Jesus.
Hobby Boulin.
I mean, I'm looking at
Johnny
different
teams. Johnny Cusick's favorite goaltender.
I'm sorry.
His nickname was I've Been Boozing.
I know. I must have been. Jesus. So you want to talk about my mission up, messing up my Russian netminders. But Khudobin, if Dobie can get back to that magic of the bubble, I guess I like them. Like they end with Chicago, like I said, but before that, they got two with Tampa. Tampa's a team that is really, I thought they'd get going again, and they haven't as much. But I'll say Dallas, Beersy there. I mean, you go to the, I kept thinking St. Louis would go. And, I mean, they've got games in hand over Arizona, too. But they got three games
in hand, 1 point back.
They've won seven times at home.
So
yeah, I know.
I'll go St. Louis because of the games in hand that they've got.
Billy, put this in perspective before we let you leave, right? You know, the Bruins, 60 points. It's the best division in hockey.
We said it that the year began. Yep.
The Arizona Coyotes are in the playoffs right now with a minus 26 goal differential.
Yep.
You yep, like that number now?
You got a better one for me?
What's their shooting percentage, though? Guys, we're going to wrap it up on that. Billy, we appreciate the time as always, and look forward to talking to you next Saturday.
All right. Never a dull day when you bring up Hobby Boulin.
Hobby Boulin.
What the heck was I thinking right there? Jeez. All right, guys. Have a great day.
Billy Jaffe joining us in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers will be listening tomorrow afternoon as Bruins take on the Penguins. Appreciate the time as always from you two as well. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Stick around for Gasper and Murray next.
This is the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21+ and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.